sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, all the opening stories are about teachers. So here's another teacher moment. A teacher asked one of her students, "How old is your dad?" To which a student said, "He's as old as I am." Teacher thought for a moment and said, "Wait a second, how is that possible?" To which the student responded, "Well, because he became a dad the day after I was born." Get it? Yeah, it wasn't a dad before that. So he's only a dad for 10 years. Hey, happy Father's Day for all you fathers out there. And we celebrated the third Sunday of June, but it wasn't always that way. In fact, all the way back in the Middle Ages and forward up until the United States was formed, it was actually celebrated on March 19th, which is known as St. Joseph's Day. Interesting concept, right? I don't know why, I couldn't find out why. But I do know, here in the United States, how it came about. Back in 1910, a woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd wanted to honor her father, and she wanted to do so in a very powerful way. Her daddy's name was William Jackson Smart. He was a Civil War veteran. He was a single parent. He raised 6 children, and she wanted to honor that. She wanted to say, "Thank you, Father." So she presented to her pastor that they do it like a celebration of Father's Day, like they do for Mother's Day. Well, a typical pastor format, he said, well, we can't do it right yet. We have to plan. So it took him about 5 weeks to plan, which ended up on the third Sunday of June. Well, it kind of was popular, but kind of wasn't. So across the nation, Father's Day was celebrated different days by different communities. It wasn't until 1966 that President Lyndon Johnson said in a presidential proclamation that the third Sunday of June should always be Father's Day. It didn't become law until 6 years later when Richard Nixon issued or signed into law the fact that Father's Day would be always the third Sunday of June. That's how we get where we are right now. Now, what we find in our scripture today is some fatherly advice. So I'd like to give you some advice fathers have given. Okay? So a girl asked her father, she said, "Dad, if I dated someone named Hansel, would that be okay?" To which the father responded, "No, I think you'll probably regret it." Hansel, Greta. Oh, it doesn't get any better. Remember, these are dad jokes. Okay. So a little boy was asking his dad when he got older. He asked his dad, he said, "Dad, when I was younger and we were playing catch, why did you always throw the ball at my head?" To which the father responded, "I knew you would catch it then." You get it? You learn to catch really quick. It's going right at your face. Okay. A father once said, "Essential oils are only those used to fry onion rings, fry wings, or french fries. All other oils are non-essential." So at the airport, family's getting ready to check their luggage in, and the father turns to the children and says, "When you put your shoes in the bag, put one shoe per bag. This way then, if we lose any luggage, they won't be able to wear your shoes." Quite sure how that one works out. But anyway, the last one here. As they were checking out the grocery store and the cashier is checking all these things, comes to a gallon of milk, and the cashier said, "Do you want your milk in the bag?" To which the father responded, "No, just leave it in the carton." Well, on this Father's Day, in the Sermon on the Mount, fatherly advice is given. This is the advice Jesus gives to us. Now, obviously, he speaks only what the Father says, so it comes down to us from heaven. This is his advice. Do not throw what is holy to the dogs. Do not throw pearls before the swine. Now, I want to tell you, before we get into the discussion, that dogs and swine in that day and time were both considered unclean animals. Neither of them were pets, like they are kind of today. So they were considered very unclean. So what is Jesus trying to tell us here? Jesus is telling us that which is valuable, that which is precious, that which is holy, don't waste it on things that are unholy. Don't waste it on things that are impure. Don't waste it on things that are temporary. Do not use that which God made special and mess it up by chasing after things that are not special. So literally what Jesus is telling us is don't misuse the great gift of you, or the gift of the love of God, or the gift of the gospel, and use it in things that are pursuing things that are unholy or impure. Jesus knows us very well, does he not? He knows us incredibly well. That sometimes we humans chase after things that are temporal, that are temporary, that are only of this life, that we forget that we're going to move on. We should be chasing after things and pursuing things that are eternal in nature, not just of this life. Then Jesus says, you know, if the temptation's there, and you feel that temptation, what do you do about it? He gives us a solution. He says, ask. Ask of God. If you feel like you're straying away, and you're starting to get away from who God is, he said, seek. Seek God. If you feel like there's no answers given, Jesus says, knock. Knock on the doorway to the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit, for you teachers out there, the words that Jesus uses. Each of the verbs he uses are active verbs. They're verbs of command. It's not you may, it's you should, you shall. You shall ask, you shall seek, you shall knock. And the power here is that once you do that, God responds. Interesting, Jesus also knows what God's all about. That just because you ask, God's not going to respond in the next minute. Because God knows that sometimes we have to go through something to find who we are, to find the great pearl that God has for us, to go deeper in our faith. So the answers may be given in a minute, in a day, in a month, maybe a couple years. But notice that we're to do. We're to ask. We're to seek. We're to knock. Here's what happens when we do that. Answers are given. And God the Father gives them to us. So when we ask, we'll receive. And that idea of receiving is that from God's great treasure house, he sends things that we cannot get at the local grocery store. We receive peace. We get assurance. Joy comes rolling down out of heaven when we ask for it. Forgiveness is extended when we ask God to forgive us. And when we seek, we'll find it. Like when we need direction, we need guidance. When we want purpose, we ask it of God, we seek it of God, and God rolls that down to us and allows us to find guidance and purpose and meaning. And then when we knock, the idea of the knocking here is on doors. Doors to the throne room of God. So you're knocking to ask God to open the doors and allow you to come in. To go into the very presence of the Almighty One. We're given access to God. And the moment we go in and get access to God, we receive the greatest of all gifts, God's presence. And with that comes purifying of our heart, the healing of our body, the redeeming of our soul. There's a song Mercedes put out about what happens when we come into the presence of God, and they put, I can only imagine it. Because no one really knows, but we know it'll be so blessed, so amazing, so incredible. Words of this life cannot describe it. So how do we know this is true? The Bible is filled with examples of those who sought, those who asked, those who knocked, and God gave answers. Let me give you a couple of them. Elijah is considered the greatest of all prophets. And the reason for that, he served in a time in which there were none. He was a solitary prophet in a kingdom that had gone heathen. King Ahab and his wife, Queen Jezebel, said, we're not going to worship God. Oh, we're going to worship all those other entities out there. And they turned the nation of Israel, a God-fearing nation, the nation that's supposed to worship Yahweh, and turned it towards a nation that was essentially heathen in nature. Elijah stood up against that. And he challenged those prophets of those other entities. And on Mount Carmel was a great contest. He against 850 other prophets. The challenge? Who would God answer? They cried out to their God, bring fire down from heaven. Lap up this offering. The 850 could do nothing. Elijah has a three-sentence prayer. And God sent fire from heaven, consumed the offering, proving that God is God over all. The problem with this story is Elijah went from the highest moment to the most incredible depth of moment because Queen Jezebel said, I will kill you. And she sought him. She sought to find him. So he ran away. He hid in a cave there nearby. And I'll tell you what, when we were in Israel a year and a half ago, there were caves everywhere. And they're pretty remote. We took a jeep ride into there to find out looking in all these caves. While Elijah was in the cave, he asked of God to find him. He knocked on the door of heaven. A whirlwind went by, fire went by, thunder went by, and God whispered to him and gave him access to who he is. Another example is Jonah. You know, Jonah was down in the mouth at one moment. That's a seminary joke, by the way. Okay? Jonah was given a great purpose. Jonah said, nah-uh. God said, go this way. Jonah went that way. And interestingly enough, God says, I still want you. And God had him through a calamity series of events get swallowed by a great big fish. By the way, if you're going to refuse the will of God, don't go in the boat. You're in trouble if you do. So anyway, Jonah gets swallowed up by fish, and inside the mouth of the fish, Jonah begins to realize, huh, I think I do need God. And he began to ask. He began to seek. And the door was open to him. God answered, and the fish vomited him onto the beachside. What a great way to be able to enjoy the beach, right? Right out of the mouth of a fish. Abraham and Sarah, they knocked on the door of heaven. They asked God. For 25 years, God said, you will have a child. 25 years. Finally, they're like, God, is it ever coming? Is this child ever going to be here? And God not only sent a promise in the form of three angels, or himself, Christ, and Holy Spirit, but God sent a child, the child of the promise. Joseph, you know, the one who got married to Mary, had a problem. His wife was pregnant. It wasn't him. And so now he had a problem. Can't marry her, right? In a dream that night when he asked of God, God appeared to him and said, Mary can be your wife. Continue the plan. This is my plan. And through dreams, as Joseph continued to knock and ask and seek, God gave Joseph direction through the dreams. So I'm going to tell you, Jesus gives us this idea that God wants to help us in this life. Guess whose responsibility it is? It's ours. It's up to us to ask. It's up to us to seek. It's up to us to knock. And to prove this, Jesus gave a great example how willing God is to shower down gifts upon us. He gave us an illustrative moment. He said, if you were a father and your child came to you and asked you for some bread, who's going to give him a stone? Jesus said, no one. Or if your child comes and asks for a fish, who's going to give him a snake? No one. And Jesus said, since you who are sinners, he used the word evil actually, we who are sinners know how to give good gifts to our children. Realize that God in heaven is more than capable of showering down gifts upon us. So on this Father's Day, let's look at a father. You know, this year really touched me as I'm a father, grandfather, of looking back on my father. I didn't have him long enough. He died when he was age of 56. I only had him for 14 years. But what a powerful impact he had. When he was healthy, he worked hard for the family. He was a manager at a clothing store, a men's clothing store. Loved going to the store because he let me play with all the equipment. And back then it was a calculator. That was the equipment. No computers there. Okay? It was really fun. It was awesome. I could play with the shoe size. You know, the thing that you put your foot in, you play with that. My dad was good, I'll tell you. Loved it. But he then got infirm. He had a series of strokes. And each stroke took more and more of my father away. And he went from being man in the world, providing for family, to house husband and taking care of the family at home. He did this before it became like popular. You remember in the 80s with the movie Michael Keaton was in, Mr. Mom? Y'all remember that movie? It was like the first of the dads become mother or stay at home kind of movies. And then it became real popular by the time Eddie Murphy was in Daddy Daycare. Y'all remember that one, okay? So each of those, my dad was before that. And he showed physically how to provide, because he used to cook the meals. But more importantly, he showed other qualities. What it meant to be a follower of God. For a man to be, my father, be stripped of his ability to provide was hard. It was really hard. But he showed incredible integrity. I never heard him once complain, ever. And I was the oldest one at home, so I heard, we talked a lot. In fact, we used to do dishes together. That was my job at home. He would wash, I would dry. We had great, deep discussions. Never once did he say, I wish it was different. This impossible situation he found himself in, what a gift back to me. My father also did something so important. He gave time. The greatest gift you can give to another person is your time. Because guess what? That's very finite in nature. And so fathers, give time to your children. A very powerful moment you can do is you share time with those who are part of your family, those you love. He taught me the most greatest gift I could give to my children is time. My dad also gave forgiveness, no matter if a person offended him, because as he got more debilitated, people said cruel things. Even though he's offended, he never struck back. He always forgave them. He taught all four of us, that's how many boys there are, he taught us forgiveness is a critical piece. He loved my mom. Even though the roles were reversed, she was now the breadwinner, he was at home. He loved her in the midst of all that. And for 25 years, they loved each other deeply up until his death. So as we approach his Father's Day, and we ponder our fathers, whether it be your physical father, or whether it be your father by choice, or a spiritual father, realize, fathers, be faithful to what God has given to you. What a powerful thing that is. You give a great picture to the world when you declare, I'm going to take care of those whom God has given into my midst, by giving them love, by sharing my time, by showing them forgiveness, by demonstrating integrity. What an incredible gift. And then the rest of us realize that there's a great Father in heaven who wants to provide for us out of the great storehouse of heaven. And realize he gives us a very simple way in which doing it. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock. That door to heaven will be open to you. Let's go to God and pray. Lord God, we truly are blessed. We're blessed by those opportunities you've given to us and those people that you've surrounded us with. What a gift they are to us. May we always celebrate. We know no one on this earth is perfect. Only Jesus was. And we thank you for how you sent your love through our fathers to us. We appreciate, Lord God, that you put people in our realm as well. People of whom we can take care of. That we can literally father them, that we can show your love that you've given to us onto them. Thank you for calling us to be able to touch human lives, those people around us. And we praise you, Lord God. When we get in a tight spot, we simply have to ask. When we have trouble finding, you say, all we have to do is seek. And when we need you desperately, all we have to do is knock. And the door will be open. Thank you for Jesus, who opens heaven to us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.